Now on UK Health Radio, treat yourself to an upgrade. Pack away your low self-esteem. Leave behind that empty feeling. Stow your fears and doubts in the overhead locker. And go from stress to authentic success with Danielle Sachs.
Welcome to each and every one of you, wherever you are in the world. I am so looking forward to this new episode, From Stress to Authentic Success. I'm your host, Danielle Sachs, and I am talking to Mr. Alex Lang. I just want to say to anyone listening that this is going to be just a conversation between Alex and myself, because we met, I think, Alex, about a month ago somewhere, a few weeks ago, let's say, maybe a bit longer. And I just want to say, first of all, welcome to you.
Thank you. Thank you, Danielle. It's when you reached out to me, I was very excited just because of the connection that we made, like you said, a month ago in Miami. And it wasn't anything about accolades. It was really human connection and everything that we're going through. I appreciate you and the opportunity to speak here.
I have to say that anyone listening to the show from last week, 2 weeks before, they will have heard me talking about my experience and my lessons in Miami and how I chose to step out of that pleasing prison and only connect with a few people. And I have to say that because we were in the team together, you could be my son at 64 and you being yes. there, it was quite an amazing connection. So we both have had, I'm not going to say a tough 2025, I'm going to say a challenging 2025. And I'm sure anyone listening recognizes that they probably have had some challenges because it's been, the world is a little bit upside down and we all have our personal lives and our personal challenges. So what do you want to say about the start of 2025? How did this year, because it's the end of the year and we reflect and we project for the next year. So Alex, let's just have this wonderful conversation between you and I and see what comes up.
Yeah, I want to re-highlight something that we talked about before we started recording is the power in December. Growing up, I told you in Miami that my mom was a drug addict and my dad was a functional alcoholic. And so in my house, it was a little chaotic. When December hit, I was always fearful because that meant I didn't go to school. I wasn't around other kids. I wasn't distracted. You have Christmas break and you go back to your home and you get this break. And so I ran from December. Like I emotionally checked out. I was anxious all the time. I got in a lot of trouble during this time. And when you reached out to me and you were saying, hey, let's do a podcast, and today's December 12th, right? And so I sit back and I'm reflecting on December and I'm like, man, December is actually a very powerful year or month in the year because you reflect on what you've been through, what you've gone through this past year. And then you also project forward, like you just said, into the future. And there's so much beauty when we can stay present in the moment rather than running. So to answer your question, I know I went long-winded there, but to answer your question, in the beginning of January, we were in Morocco. We were in Fez, and we were a full-time travel family at the time. I have 5 kids. My wife's giving birth to our 6th here in January, and we were traveling the world, and we chose Morocco because we've always wanted to go to Morocco. And so we found ourselves going to the Atlas Mountains on January 1st, and we were talking about intention. We were talking about how this was going to be an amazing year because we were traveling all the time. We were going to create memories, and we were going to get to experience different cultures. So there was so much joy for 2025 because we finally, for the first time in my life, I got to choose how I wanted to show up in the world rather than I was in the military for 14 years. So I did what I was told. My purpose and my mission was tied up into the military's purpose and mission. So this was the first time that we, as a family, my wife and I, got to choose, hey, this is how we're going to do it. 2025 started off really bright, optimistic. Everything was amazing. And then obviously we'll get into it, but some things happened that just made us sit back and say, okay, what is this all here to teach us?
So I just want to say to everybody, many people listening will recognize this, Alex. things are going well, I'm exactly the same. That's why also one of the reasons why we connected is because for me, it was the same. Last year, the beginning of the year, everybody, you sit together, you celebrate a certain, there's a certain atmosphere here in Belgium. You are in the sun. I am here in the in a season where it's dark, where, you know, the candles, the lights. And then when January hits like that and everything goes well, and then suddenly things change. So let's just, shall we share a little bit of what, how it changed?
Yeah, 9 months ago, almost 10 months ago, I was asked the hardest question that I think anybody would ever been asked. And I was in Cyprus. We had just left Morocco and we were traveling to Cyprus and we were there for about 3.5 weeks. We were packing up for our next travel destination, which was Turkey. And my oldest two sons were playing with their little brother, Liam, and they were pushing him around in a on a suitcase, and the suitcase tipped over, and Liam busted his lip. Pretty good. He was bleeding, went almost through his lip, and he was primarily breastfed. So for the
He
next
was still what,
14,
a year and a half, something?
he was a year and a
Hmm.
half. It was the, this happened on the 17th of February. He was turning 18 months on the 18th of February.
Yeah.
And so he busts his lip, but he calms down. He's cuddled up to my wife. I'm holding him throughout the day because we're still packing. The kids are packing a little bit for the next day. And he had not eaten. He's primarily breastfed. And so we were monitoring that. We realized that, hey, we need to figure out how to get water or breast milk or some food, something. He needs to eat something. But he just kept refusing to eat because I believe the pain in his chin was just unbearable to him. And so he goes to sleep that night. We make it through the day. He's playing at 10, like 10 p.m. We finished packing for the day, and he's sitting on the floor playing, throwing one of his stuffed animals with all of us, with his mom, with his brothers, and I'm recording. I have a video of this. And then we decide to go to sleep. 4:30 in the morning, he wakes up screaming and crying, and these are screams that I've never heard from him before. I had slept in the other room because it's going to be a long travel day, and my wife had said, "Hey, get some sleep. I know that he's going to wake up multiple times throughout the night." And so I did that, and my wife comes banging in at 4:30 and says, "Hey, Liam is fainting. He's passing out. Like, I don't know what's going on. We need to go to the emergency room, I think." And so I look at him, I turn on the lights, and he's fainting. He's heaving, like dry heaving. He's hungry, but it caused him so much from the crying and stuff like that. He's passing out, and you can see something's wrong. And it took me back to a time, a split second took me back to when my oldest daughter, she was diagnosed with a brain tumor and she had over 1,000 seizures for a big part of her young life. She's 7 now. So when I say young life, more the first 4 years. So I'm like, "Hey, we gotta go to the hospital." I get in the car. My wife and Liam are in the car and we're driving. I don't even know where the hospital is. We're in Paphos, Cyprus. I'm way across the world and I'm near Israel, small island. I find cops that are sitting on the side of the road. I pull over and they're half asleep. And I'm like, "Hey, where is the nearest hospital?
Oh.
Because I gotta get my kid to the hospital." And they're like, "Oh, it's a 20-minute drive." And they gave me a name and I Googled it and I was able to get there. And when we get there, my wife and I knew that, hey, he was dehydrated. So he needed to get fluids and everything was good. We'll most likely be on our way to our next destination here soon. So we get to the hospital and they start checking him and they're saying, "What's wrong with your son? What's wrong with your son? He doesn't look normal." And we're like, "What do you mean? Like this is what's going on." And they're like, "No, like his skin, it's a slight tint of blue." And when Liam had gotten really cold, he would turn blue. And so we told them that. And this is broken English now. So these people's main,
No, I
the
know. Yeah.
country's language is Greek. And so they're speaking in broken English, and we're trying to slow down how we're speaking. And we're like, "No, this is what's going on." And they're like, "But touch his skin. He's warm." And so we touch his skin, and we're like, "Oh, damn, he is warm." And so they said, "We're going to do some extra tests." So they do some X-rays, they do an EKG, and they start going frantic. I'm talking about you go one pace, and then when you're in a hospital and everybody just clicks on, you start to wonder, like, what the
What
heck is going
is, yeah.
on? So I'm sitting there and I'm more observing than my wife. She's just keeping Liam calm. He was fussy, but then he started to calm down and breastfeed again after all this time. So we're like, it's
Yes,
finally
yes.
happening. But the doctors were like, he's critical. He's critical. They start making phone calls. They're speaking in Greek. Don't know what's going on. But I took a picture of the EKG and I used ChatGPT, which I'm not saying ChatGPT is a medical provider, but it at least gives me a little understanding of what I'm
What's
seeing.
going on?
And I see something major. I don't remember vividly like the actual what ChatGPT told me, but they said that something's going on internally with his heart.
Alex, let's all breathe because you can feel in your story and in your energy that this is a serious thing coming. And I just want to both of us breathe and have a little break. And anyone listening, I know when we come back just now, I think it's worthwhile hearing the rest of the story. So let's have a little break and I'll talk to you just now.
The station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Cappuccino, latte, Americano, flat white, macchiato.
Just imagine, for less than the price of a single cup of coffee out on the high street, you could enjoy an award-winning online magazine every month with up-to-the-minute information on health and healthy lifestyle. Sounds like a good trade-off? Check out Health Triangle Magazine on the UKHealthRadio.com website. Just sacrifice a single cup of coffee every month.
Let's all put health first.
The station that makes you feel good.
Thanks for listening in, and here we are back. And I am sure that you are sitting as much as I am on the top of your seat or wherever you are listening to this story. And I want to ask Alex Lang to just continue, because this is a serious kind of thing that can happen to anyone with children, to anyone with a sister or a brother. This is such a special story. And I want you to stay with me and with Alex, because there's lots more coming in the rest of the conversation until the end. So let's continue this beautiful story, Alex.
Absolutely. So I see that ChatGPT tells me something's going on with his heart. And I see all the frantic going on in the hospital, the emergency room. And I start to get this internal uneasiness. I start to pace back and forth. I'm grabbing my gut to try to bring myself, ground myself back. And they're like, we have to move him in the hospital. We can't deal with this. The nearest hospital that can help him is 2 hours away. My four other kids were at the Airbnb. We had a travel nanny with us that we were so fortunate that we had a travel nanny so we could both be at the hospital. And so I run back home. It's a 20-minute drive while they're prepping to transfer my son Liam and my wife to the other hospital. And I'm getting some of his toys. And I go back home and my kids, they're waiting at the door. And this is like one of the first hard times that I believe that like I had to really face is I walk in and my sons are like, where's Liam? Is everything okay? And they're starting to ask me these questions. And there was just this pause. And I couldn't say anything because I didn't know. But what I do remember vividly, and my son broke down afterwards, I said, buddy, I want you to know that what you all did, you saved Liam's life. Because there's something going on with his heart. We didn't know. You all were playing with him. This isn't that you did, you saved his life.
They
We wouldn't
needed
have
to
found this
hear
out.
that.
And so they're getting in their own process, and I'm like, hey, I have to go back to the hospital. I'll be back soon because they're gonna transport Liam into another hospital. And I'd go back and I give my wife some of the things that she needs, and I get some of Liam's toys to calm him down and things of that nature. So they get him all ready. They get him in the ambulance. I give my wife a kiss. I look at Liam in his eyes. I connect to his forehead. He has a oxygen mask on his face. And I just tell him, I said, buddy, you're strong. I love you. You can do this. And I give him a kiss, and I go, and then they go. That's the last time I saw him alive. For those next 2.5 hours, I run back to the house. I get all our stuff. I shove it into our car, and I'm speeding. I say speeding, but I was speeding. I don't know how fast I was going, but I was going to the hospital in Nicosia. And so we get to the hospital, and my wife sends me a message right before I get there, and she's like, hey, they induced Liam. I wasn't there. But they said that they needed to do further tests and he needed to be induced, sedated. So I get there, we're talking to the doctor. They do some initial tests and they say that your son has this rare congenital heart defect where the normal person has four chambers in their heart. He only had two that were working. He had three, but only two were working. And he didn't have an aorta to go to his lungs to help develop his circulatory system. So his body had reconfigured itself to basically survive to this point.
That in itself is a miracle, hey, Alex? Whoa,
Yeah.
that you had him for 18 months? Whoa, that's an
Yeah.
amazing story.
And you're absolutely right that the one thing that I hold so much close to my heart is after he passed away, the doctor had said, your son is a miracle because he was only supposed to live 2 to 3 days in the eyes of medicine. So the fact that he lived 18 months, it's so powerful.
Yeah, it is.
It
It
can't
is.
be
It says a
explained.
lot about this soul as well of wanting to be with you guys and holding on in the whole, family circle that he played a role there, eh? That's for sure.
Yeah.
What
And you
kind of
know,
role do you, how do you look at it now? Knowing, what it's 9, 10 months ago, how do you look at it now? Do you look at it in a different way?
no one asks to lose a child. I know that for sure. And you never know how you're going to react or respond. I sit here now with just so much gratitude, not for his passing, but for what he gave me in his life. And then also what he opened up inside of me. I'm a firm believer that children are our teachers if we allow them to be. But we really just have to relinquish control. The more that we try to control something, the more it slips through our fingers. It's like sand. And with Liam, it was so different for me because being an active duty military member, I wasn't present and involved with my other kid's life like I was with Liam. So Liam, I was a full-time, I was a men's coach for 3 years. I had stopped coaching men and I was a full-time dad and we were traveling the world. So I got to be with him every single day, which it's so interesting that we do this podcast today because I was reflecting back on a year ago and we were traveling from Portugal to Morocco and we were in the airport. And this is my most favorite memory, one of my most favorite memories of Liam. I have all the bags, I have six bags, and my kids and my wife are up there in the restaurant area, which looks down over the baggage area. And I just hear my son Liam scream, Dad! Dad, he's screaming, and my wife took videos, and so I look at that memory often. But what you're asking me is like, how do I see all of this? I see this as an opportunity to dive deeper into understanding myself.
Yes, I can say five times yes, because that's what's happening. So that's why I'm asking, because we're talking about the whole year 2025. And when I have watched you standing on that platform in Miami, telling your story from your heart, from your soul, but also the lessons that you got out of it. And I'm not going to share too much about my story, but the reason why we connected is because I also almost lost a son. Eh? And in my case, for the moment, he's fine, he's doing well, but he's a father on his own, 37 years old, 38 now with two children. And I understand more than ever what it is to have that feeling of losing a child. Because that is something that, to me, is one of the biggest, like you say, challenges, hurts that a father or a mother can live. My own mother lost her son, as I said to you, my little brother, at 6 months old, caught that. Sudden, I don't know how they call it in English, sudden caught that or something, at 6 months. So that's one of the reasons why we started talking so much when I heard your story about what it all brings in one's life. I lived that at 5 years old. So, you know, what you lived as a father, I losing my little brother, and now in January, cancer in the family. It's just all coming into our lives almost to teach us something, to make us grow, to make us evolve. It's almost like a soul's mission is almost. What about your soul's mission? Do you feel that it's actually a catalysator, we call it, for your soul's mission even more?
Yeah, I've been sitting with this a lot lately. I read a book recently that validated what I was thinking and everything that we've talked about in Miami. Viktor Frankl, A Man's Search for Meaning.
Yes. And, ooh, yes.
And he says that, and I'm going to sum it up in my own words, but he talks about that purpose is a choice. And for a long time, I didn't believe that. But now, as I've navigated everything within these last three years, because I told you many times that yes, my son's passing was a linchpin, it was a catalyst, but it wasn't the reason why I am here today. It was just a
it's more than
of
that. It's so much more. I think it starts with you being with your mother and your father. That's where it starts.
Absolutely. No, and I agree, and I think a lot of people, they run away from the childhood because it's so painful and the suffering. Yeah. But where I'm going with this is that when in life, if we don't know, if we don't have this internal purpose, like this choice, if we don't choose it, we fill the void two different ways. We either conform to what the external society, everybody else is doing to fit in, or we do what we're told by other people that tell us, hey, you need to do this or this. And that's, for me, that hits me so deeply because that's who I was. I didn't know my purpose. I wasn't taught, hey, have a connection to self at a younger age. And so now, like with Liam's passing and the things that I've endured or gone through, the choice of not staying in the suffering, because suffering is a choice. And I know that might be confronting for some people to hear, but suffering really is a choice. And I told you this, and I'm going to throw it back to you on your thoughts, but the way that I navigated through all of the challenging times in my recent life has always been through self-love. Where grief is, joy is what's going to help you navigate the dark times. Now, there's going to be times where you can't breathe. I say you can't breathe, but you're crying and you're in so much physical pain and things like that. Stay in it. Understand it. Allow it a place. But when there's
energy, suppress it neither, because that's the thing, hey? Many people and society has told us to drink, to watch TV, to do other things so we don't feel it. But I think the feeling of the suffering is actually not bad, but there's a moment where you need to shift it. And that's a choice.
And that's through self-love. That's through doing things that we love to do, because when we fill our cup, it gives us the energy to be able to show up in the world in those challenging times. And that also our attitude is like, it's so important on how we respond to suffering. Like when we see what life gives us, we can't control that. I can't control losing my son or the other things that have followed, that have been before. But what I know is that when I respond in the world and when I'm authentic, and this is where we connected, and a lot of people don't realize this, that room that we were in was with 55 of some very influential and powerful and financially rich people. But what I feel like stood out for me, what made me relevant, so to speak, because I'm not sitting here as a multimillionaire, like you're hearing this firsthand from me. What stood out was I just showed my heart. I talked from the place that I've been living for the last 3 years. And authenticity and transparency is the new currency.
Yes. I agree totally. But a lot of people question what authenticity really is. And to me, it's always been, I've been the stress expert in the first part of my life. And then to me, the most of the stress comes if we are not authentic to ourselves. So I switched that to authentic success. So when you are authentic, success follows. And look at you, Alex, you're going to see in the next months, you won this award in Miami. So you're going to thrive. And we can talk just a little bit later about, like we say, what December, if we see ourselves in December 26, it might be a totally different version. But what I want to say is that authenticity is just in this society, not always for people who are listening now, Alex, not so evident. For us today, you and I, we've been through this. We've done I'm not talking about work. I don't like to talk about we've done the work. It's not about work. It's about uncovering the layers and coming back to who you truly are. And that is that little boy, Alex, who that little soul that came into this world with the birthright of being loved, with the birthright of being himself. And so you've done a lot of that amazing kind of growth. And I've seen you even in a week, how mm-hmm. you've been growing. Just tell us a little bit about, if you want to, about what the winning has done. Because when you go back to the beginning of the year, losing your son, and I don't call it losing. That's for me a term. Maybe you and I can talk about that another time. But for me, it's not about losing someone. Because we know that they're in a different dimension. So to me, it's not about losing someone, but let's call it for a minute like that. How, you know, do you see in 2025 yourself now today, how do you see this? How are you looking back to it? And how are you seeing yourself winning that award in Miami? What does it mean to you?
Right after he passed away, we were in this Airbnb and it was my four kids and my wife and I. We were sleeping on a king size bed and we're all crying and going through the cycles and the emotions. And I think it was day two or three, right before we were flying out back to where we were at in the Dominican Republic. And I look at my wife and I'm like, this is not going to define who I am. Like, it's so important that I respond so differently with love. Yes. And with an open heart,
yes.
Because our kids are so young and they're going to see this is the most challenging thing that they've experienced in their life. And it's probably going to be one of the most challenging things that they've experienced. So when I bring that back into me, like looking at it now is I've been through a lot of things in my life. And I know that a lot of people that are listening have been through a lot of things. Mm-hmm. And when we go through these things, especially at a young age like myself with my childhood, these beliefs start to creep up. Because we're,
of course,
we're,
in the most challenging times, those beliefs have a lot of power.
Yeah. And so for a long time, I had this self-doubt. And I think a lot of people have this voice, this self-doubt voice that when you get put into an uncomfortable situation that you know is good for you, but that voice comes out at the wrong time.
Yeah.
And I had that voice come to me in Miami. That's the craziest mm-hmm. thing. I love public speaking. I love mm-hmm. getting in front of people and connecting. Mm-hmm. I really do love having conversations with people. So when I went to this speaking academy, I'm like, man, I'm going to enjoy this. I'm going to get to learn from some of the best. But then day one, when we're talking, when everybody's introducing themselves, and I think I told you this, maybe I have or I haven't, but when everybody was introducing themselves, I started to have this voice come up like, hey, you don't belong here. Look at everybody else's accolades. Look at they have their multimillionaires, their founders, their best-selling authors. They have these amazing movements.
And blah, here blah, we blah. Are.
Here we are, right? And I started to feel that tension, the anxiety, like the constricted breathing. Where I'm going with this is I realize what I've been missing in my life up to these past few years was my ability to own my story.
Yes.
Because there's one way of telling a story, one way of saying, hey, this is what I've experienced, but owning it mm-hmm. and accepting it and saying, hey, you know what? That, once again, I've used this term many times, it doesn't define who you mm-hmm. are. And when we listen deeply, mm-hmm. when we sit with the pain, when the challenges that we've gone through, when we allow them a space in our body, and then we integrate it, that's the big piece, integrating it to who we are. in the sense of moving forward. Hey, I'm not running from it. I'm going to speak about it. I'm going to be open about it because I am paving the way for others to do the same.
Yes. By showing your authentic story, vulnerable version of yourself, etc., that is the best way. And that's what we try to do every week here in this show, Alex. I'm going to have a little break again, but I just want to say to anyone listening, I think that I wanted to talk to Alex because I just feel that both of us can show without any loss of, you know, without any shame, without any guilt, without any, we are just here for you, sharing our story, our vulnerable story, so to make you feel that you can be vulnerable as well. And I think that's such a big thing here, is to live by example. And I know Alex a little bit after the week we spent together. And I do believe, Alex, that you are going to be such an amazing example to so many of the next generation. I'm a grandmother of five. I'm already, my time is, it's a different kind of example.
Your life is just starting.
I know, but I'm giving a different kind of example. You know what I'm saying? With the five grandchildren, what you said about your children, how you want to be with your children, I have that with my grandchildren. I want to be the best grandmother ever. So we're going to have a little break again. And let's come back, Alex, and talk about maybe about what this period of the end of the year means to you and your beautiful family, your amazing wife, how you spend that. And then maybe talk a little bit about what 2026 is going to look like for you and I. Okay?
Absolutely.
Talk to you just now.
Station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, aunt and deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Kiss me quick. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries
and cream. A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Yes, we are back. talking to Alex Lang. I just want to say, Alex, your story up until now, for anyone who hears this the first time, is absolutely so vulnerable and so real, pure, that I want to talk to you now about how you and your family, your beautiful children and your beautiful wife, how are you going to celebrate this period coming?
December, as I mentioned before, it's this time now for us to slow down even more. We've slowed down a lot this year, and I am so grateful for that. That's, I think, one of the biggest things, is being able to slow down and just get a clear picture on what matters. So December, like we've been doing the last few months, we get into these family circles. We all bought Zafus, like the little pillows that you can sit on and meditate. So we have six Zafus, and we have this round carpet, and we'll get into our circle, and we'll just talk about what we're grateful for this year, what didn't go as planned, what are our lessons that we've learned. And then one thing that we do, and I have some vision boards here, but we'll do a vision board. We'll do individual vision boards, and then we'll do like a collective family vision board and project into 2026. Because I am a believer, real quick, that manifestation isn't just raising your energy. So you need a clear direction, and you have to take some action. So, and that's why Miami was so powerful, is because I put myself in a room, and then this winning this event and now the things that came from that, I would never have happened if I didn't get in the room. That's the first step.
Yeah.
So 2026, to answer and then throw it to you, it's going to be a year of expansion. I feel it already.
Is that your word for 26? Expansion? I always set an intention with my clients, with my husband, with my family. We always take like a theme, and everybody chooses, but we both always, my husband and I, choose a theme. And it's such a beautiful intention, because your focus is different. Sometimes you can choose focus. You can choose self-love. You can choose gratitude. You can choose so many intentions, but it becomes your focus for the year. So is yours expansion?
I didn't put in word yet, but that's the first word that came to my mind. So I'm going to put that on the list. We usually sit down and we explain to the kids. They don't go as in depth as we do, but explain to the kids, hey, we name our year. And so naming the year, it gives us, because so many people have these New Year's resolutions. Mm-hmm. And then when life hits them, they stop. And so we naming the year and just continuing throughout the year to be in alignment of the year.
Wow. Yes.
So I do have goals, but that's the big thing, is naming the year. So this year, like I mentioned with expansion, I get to speak in front of a few thousand people at an event here in July. I am working on speaking at other places. I love traveling, so I want to travel and speak. That's been a dream of mine.
What is your main message just for the next months? Not for the, because it changes sometimes. There's an evolution. I've changed my message. It's still the same foundation. You change a little bit your message. What is your core message that you want to give? And maybe you can even talk to anyone listening. What is your core message to anyone listening here and now for the months to come, or for the days, or for the weeks to come?
I want to inspire people to live and lead with purpose, right? I want them to have intention in their life. And whatever that purpose looks like, it differs amongst people. But a lot of people, and when I was a men's coach, so I'm gonna talk about what I've experienced with men, but this is relative to anybody. But a lot of people, they don't question the life that they're given, and they just follow the norm, the traditional aspect of it. They don't get curious on the why they're doing what they're doing. And I mentioned that earlier in the podcast, was about the conformism of that.
Yes.
And this conformism comes at us at a young age.
Yeah.
Because we're doing what we're told. And a lot of people, and this may align with the show, but a lot of people, they find themselves very successful. They got all the things, and then there's this burnout symptoms. Or
that's
there's something,
true wealth.
Something's
they climbed on the wrong ladder. They've been focusing on the wrong wealth. And I'm not talking money as a negative thing at all. Please don't. But you're right. That's what happens in our society. People go for society's success.
Yeah.
And a lot of them are burned in many ways, not just burned out. Eh?
So my message is this for people, that there's a book out there called The Big Leap by Gay Hendricks. And he talks about the zone of excellence and the zone of genius. Mm-hmm. And for a long time, I was in my zone of excellence. And the zone of excellence is, you're very good at something, really good at something, but it drains you.
Yeah.
My goal is to get people from their zone of excellence to their zone of genius.
Yes.
Something that you're really good at, that you enjoy, that fills your cup, that it's so contagious that people are attracted to you. And like it's a reciprocating energy. There's this theory, and I won't get too deep into it, but it's called Batari's box. And they say my action and my energy affects your actions and your energy. And when you're in your zone of genius, I'm telling you that energy is so beautiful and it's contagious. So my message is letting
the vibe that you are in now. Let's be honest, Alex. You yes. can feel it. And things like a five-day intensive week like that, and you are with the right people, surrounded by people all in the same passion, that's what it gets to you, hey? That the vibe is just so contagious that you don't lose it easily, hey, once you've been in there.
Yeah, it just comes naturally. It's not even that you have to try.
No.
You have to take action, but you don't have to try because it just flows naturally. You're not forcing anything. And through this message of purpose, people will wake up and see that they get to choose how they respond to challenging situations in their life. Like we talked about was not every painful or challenging situation, you have to stay stuck in the negative. It can be a gateway to your purpose in life. And people run from that.
Yeah, I agree. Now, to finish off this conversation, if there is one quote or one statement that you would like to the audience, anyone listening, maybe feeling stuck, maybe in the middle of suffering, is there anything that you want to say to them just to finish off that can help them?
Goes in line with what I just said. And I want to say that I have a statement that I can just let people drop, but it's just my own thoughts here, is that when we stay with the challenges in our life, everybody looks at this and they say, hey, I want a peaceful life. But peace isn't this comfort. Mm-hmm. Peace is actually having a little bit of tension, positive stress, right? Positive stress, things that we like to do. And that's where things are born. That is where this fire is born. So when we look at these moments, these challenging moments in our life, and we sit with them, we don't numb through whatever mechanism. It could be alcohol, drugs, you name it. But we let it have a place in our body. We allow the emotions to come up. We allow ourselves to feel, because humans are supposed to feel. Then we can start to integrate it and then take aligned action. I'm not recommending anybody to just take action. I'm telling you to take aligned action. Mm-hmm. Things that fill your cup, the self-love that we talk about. Mm-hmm. And when you do that, then it's going to start to ripple in the world. It's going to multiply. Your message is going to multiply and you're going to be a trailblazer. And if anybody knows, my son's name's Liam, and that came from him. Listen, integrate, act, and multiply.
Oh, let's finish with that one. I am going to close this conversation and this episode with Liam, just sending this amazing message into the world, L-I-A-M. And you can repeat it. Listen.
Integrate.
And then?
Act. Multiply.
Thank you so much, Alex, for this amazing conversation. I will see you guys next time. Bye-bye for now. Before we close, I just want to speak to you just for a moment, because these days between Christmas and the New Year often feel so different, quieter, and yet sometimes for many of us heavier. There's time for reflection, as we discussed. There's hope. And for many, also a lot of uncertainty about what lies ahead. And if you're listening and feeling tired, not just physically, but deeply, please know this. You're not alone. 2025 has asked a lot of us, of our resilience, of our nervous systems, even of our hearts. So when I wish you a healthy and wealthy, of course, holiday season, I do not mean more effort. I don't mean pushing yourself to start fresh, do better. No, I mean this, that your body find some moments of real rest, that your heart feels a bit safer maybe, and that your life feels so much richer in what truly matters to you, in connection, in meaning. Because you know by now that wealth to me is feeling a sort of being home in yourself, even when the world feels so uncertain. So just from my heart to yours, I want to thank you for being here, for listening, for allowing these conversations into your life like the one we had just now, because your presence means more than you may realize. May 2026 meet you with so much more gentleness, softness, mildness. May you choose yourself without any guilt or shame or doubt. And if something in today's conversation stayed with you, please do not rush to do anything with it. Just let it travel with you into the new year. And I trust we'll speak again soon. Bye-bye for now.
From Stress to Authentic Success was presented by Danielle Sachs. Join Danielle at the same time next week here on UK Health Radio. And meanwhile, for more on how to thrive in business and everyday life by being true to yourself, go to daniellesachs.com.